beyond the river. You may be seated. Thank you, ladies. From what I heard, you sounded good this morning. Thank you for your good, wholehearted singing. If you have a Bible, you can go to the Gospel of John chapter 17 and verse 17. This verse 17 is so rich. It is so rich. I never expected that it would be this rich. And we'll probably be in it just one more time before we move on down to the next verse or verses. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The last two sermons from John 17, I have concentrated on the subject of our sanctification. I want to, this morning and Lord willing, next week also, concentrate on this thought of thy word is truth. I want to speak about God's word being true and God's word being the truth. We'll jump right into it without any kind of introduction or review. First of all, I want us to understand that the Bible is the truth of God and it is divine truth. That's the first thing I want to point out to you this morning. Is that the Bible, the Word of God, is divine truth. The divine Word that you hold on your lap this morning transcends all human words. The book you hold on your lap this morning transcends all human books. Just as God transcends man and is so much higher than man, God's Word is so much higher than men's words, and God's book is so much higher than men's books. When it comes to human wisdom and human philosophy, we say things like, or they did of old, and sometimes you still hear it today, Aristotle said, or Plato said, or Socrates said, or one that I'm sure you've all heard, Confucius said, or Epicurus said, or take any of the church fathers, Constantine said, or John Calvin said, or Martin Luther said. But when it comes to the divine Word of God, we say, thus saith the Lord. And that is so much more powerful than Epicurus says, or Aristotle or Plato says. Thus saith the Lord is so much more powerful. That which comes from God, our Creator, has immediate dominion. It has immediate authority and awe upon our hearts and upon our minds and upon our conscience. There's just something about it. If I stood up here and said, Plato made this comment about this subject, or Confucius said this about that, or even Constantine makes this remark, or Martin Luther said this, that's one thing. And those things are no doubt interesting to hear and interesting to consider, but it is absolutely nothing on the same plane or the same level as thus saith the Lord. Nothing even close. When it comes to human wisdom and human philosophy and human arguments, we can argue against them. We can disagree against them. You can argue against Plato. You can argue against Socrates. You can argue even against Constantine or John Calvin. You can have disagreements with those men. You can argue against their philosophy, against their teaching. We may argue that such and such seems true, or that such and such seems false, or that we just don't agree with that. But that which comes from God must be met with immediate submission, immediate agreement, even when it goes against our preconceived ideas, and even when it goes against years of human indoctrination, even when it goes against years of teaching, we must submit, we must kneel, we must surrender to the Word of God. It is divine. Again, you disagree with anything that man says. You argue with anything that man says. Man is fallible. And you might think that man is wrong. And that you know better. That you have a better argument. That you have a better viewpoint. I get that. I understand that. I love to discuss. I love to debate. I love to argue, but when it comes to the Word of God, there must be immediate submission, because thus saith the Lord. When faced with the Word of God, we must say that, here's one greater than Aristotle. Here's one greater than Plato. Here's one greater than Socrates. Greater than Confucius. Greater than Epicurus. Greater than Constantine. Greater than Calvin. Greater than Luther. Greater than any man, the Word of God. The prophets of old would often say, "Thus saith the Lord." You can find that phrase time and time again throughout the scriptures. "Thus saith the Lord." Because nothing could amaze and nothing could humble the hearts of hearers more than the fact that God had spoken. That these are the very words of our Creator. These are the very words of our God. These are the words of our Maker. "Thus saith the Lord" stops us and humbles us, and we should come into immediate submission to it. Once we receive the Word of God as God's truth, only then can it work in our hearts. We must submit to the Word of God as truth, and only once we submit to God's Word as truth and humble ourselves to His truth and fall into line with His truth and into agreement with His truth, only then can a work be done in our hearts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 13. "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." My friends, there's so much difference. There's such a great span between the Word of God and the Word of men. And you that receive the Bible and the Holy Scriptures as the Word of God, you that receive it as divine truth, only then can it work effectually in your heart and life. Last week I spoke quite a bit about the Word of God being effectual if we receive it by faith. If the Spirit of God applies it to our hearts. But this morning I stress that the Word of God can only be effectual in our lives if we receive it as the Word of God. If we receive it as divine instruction. If we receive it as out of the mouth of our Creator. It can only be effectual if we believe this is God's Word and it is not man's Word. The Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, is divine truth. You can argue with some of my beliefs. You can argue with some of my thoughts. You can argue with my opinions. You can debate them. You can think they are wrong. But we must come into submission to the Holy Scriptures as being divine truth. Thus saith the Lord. Not only is it divine truth, but it is infallible truth. The Word of God is so certain. It is so perfect. It is without error. It is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. This book will never lie to you nor deceive you. This book is completely 100% true, infallible, without error. Men using this book will lie, and men using this book will deceive, and men using this book will distort, but not the scripture itself, not the book itself, all right? And that's why I stressed it last week. I've been stressing it for almost 29 years. Go home and search the scriptures and see whether these things be true. Because what I say may contradict the scripture. Listen, I tried to that it's not that way. I try carefully to not contradict the scripture. I try carefully to preach what is true. But I might be wrong. I have been wrong. I've had to apologize for being wrong. I've had to correct myself. Man is fallible. And this book in man's hand, he'll make mistakes with it. But you can trust the book itself. You don't believe it because Pastor Coe said it. You believe it because plainly the Bible teaches it. Whoever believes according to the Bible and whoever lives according to the Bible will never be confounded, never be confused, never be ashamed, and will, at the end of his life, never wish that he had believed and gone another way. Psalm 119 and verse number 6 says this, "Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments." You can trust the book that you hold on your lap. You can trust it. It's not going to lead you astray. You're not going to get to the end of your life and wish that you had picked up a different book, that you had read a different book, that you had went with some other book, that you'll not get to the end of your life and wish that you had gone by the Book of Mormons or by the Quran or by some other book. You'll not be disappointed at the end of your life by following this book and believing this book and trusting this book. If you love the Word of God, if you read and study it with the help of the Holy Spirit, if you respect it, if you respond to it, if you rejoice in it, if you receive it, it will be your infallible guide. It will never deceive you. It will never lead you astray. Trust the book on your lap. It is not only divine truth, but it is infallible truth without error. The world is filled with ignorance. And even worse, it's filled with liars. The world is filled with deceivers. And the only one that you can have complete confidence in is God. And the only thing that you can have complete confidence in is His Word. You can trust His Word. I would not recommend at all that you trust the news, any media. Don't trust the things that you read on the internet. All right? Don't trust what you hear on the television. Don't trust what you hear on the radio. You can't trust that stuff. All right? A lot of that is wrong on purpose. A lot of that is meant to warp your mind, to deceive your mind. A lot of that is meant to steer you in a certain way. You cannot trust media, but you can trust the Word of God. It will not lead you astray, brother. It will not deceive you, sister. It is infallible. It is divine. And not only that, but it is eternal. It is eternal truth. Just as God lives and abides forever, so does His Word. Just as God lives and abides forever, so does His truth. Matthew 24:35. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. Matthew 5:18. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. It is the eternal word of God. I mean, just think in this short span of 2,000 years, and just think how amazing it is that 2,000 years ago, there was a group of people, all right, over across the seas, on the other side of the world, there was a group of people who had a Bible, just like you, and read it, and believed it, and trusted it, and followed it. That's just 2,000 years. The word of God is eternal. 1 Peter 1, 23 to 25, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, or the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. It is the eternal word of God. Bible truth abides forever. Errors and false ways come and they go. Sometimes more than once. But the word of God is constant. I could stand here this morning and list hundreds and hundreds of cults. I could list hundreds of false teachers, false religions that have come and had a time of popularity and then disappeared and died and not missed at all. All right? I could go back in time, go back several thousand years and list false groups and false religions and cults and false teachings that had risen up in their day and were popular in their day and that good godly men preached against and good godly people fought against, and those things have died and disappeared and nobody misses them. Occasionally, one will pop up again down the road a century or so later, and good men and good people will fight it again. Occasionally that happens. But for the most part, they just fade off into history and are never remembered again. But the word of God has prevailed and will prevail. And it's still here today. It is still here today. Even that which Moses wrote. Even that which Moses wrote is still here today. And we still are helped by it today. And we still rejoice in it today. The true church of Jesus Christ that is faithful to the word of God has stood through the ages and will continue to stand through the ages. The people of God with the word of God. The word is eternal. Fourthly, it is not only divine truth, it is from God Himself. It is not only infallible truth, without error, can be trusted completely. And it is eternal truth. It'll last all the way into eternity. It'll last until it's not needed anymore. Fourthly, it is all truth. Now hear me. Listen to me carefully. When I say it is all truth, I do not mean that it is all mathematical truth. Okay? I do not mean that it is all philosophical truth. I do not mean that it is all scientific truth. I do not mean that it is all whatever kind of truth is out there. I do not mean that a man who wants to become a brain surgeon only needs to use his Bible to learn brain surgery. When I say that this is all truth, I'm speaking about it is all spiritual truth. Okay? Now listen, although there is truth other than spiritual truth, found in the Word of God. There is mathematical truth found in there. There is scientific truth found in there. All right? As a matter of fact, you'd be better off to believe some of the scientific truth found in the Scripture than what man is giving to you. Amen? Amen? How did we come to exist? Well, if you listen to man, you know, he has that whole scheme of the world being billions of years old, and a little germ, and it turns into a little tadpole, and you know that whole process about how we got here from monkeys. If you believe the scientific world, that's what they teach. That's what they're teaching our young people in school. They don't allow creationism to be taught in our schools. That's what they teach our young people. In that case, you'd be better off listening to the Bible truth, the Bible scientific truth, how we got here. There is mathematical truth. There is physical, a medical truth in the Word of God. It was the Bible that told us that life was in the blood. And a lot of other medical truth that's found in the Scripture. So when I say it is all truth, I do not mean it is all mathematical truth, it is all philosophical truth, it is all scientific truth, although that stuff is in there. I mean it is all soul-saving truth found in the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3:15 says this, All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is able to make us wise unto salvation. There is nothing lacking from God's Word that we need in our spiritual life. Now get that. If you don't get anything else, get that. All doctrine and practice of the Christian life is found in that book you hold on your lap. It is all truth. Do not let any church or any denomination or any religious leader or any spiritual organization tell you that there is something more that you need. As far as your spiritual life goes, all that you need is in the Word of God. There's not something new, and there's not something more. Down through the ages, so many religious groups have added their traditions as an appendix to the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the Jews were very bad at that, adding the traditions of men, stacking the traditions of men up so far, so high. They had so many traditions of men that they had added to God's Word. And down through the ages, religious groups have added their traditions. And listen, I don't care what denomination, I don't care what group, they have a tendency to add their traditions, to add their ordinances, to add their rules to the Word of God. We know that we are not to add anything to the Word of God or subtract anything from the Word of God. Why? Because it is all spiritual truth that God wants us to have. It is all that we need. When it comes to spiritual life, the book is all you need. Beware of spiritual traditions and customs that are forced upon you that are not of the Bible. Did you hear me? I'm going to say it again. Beware of spiritual traditions and religious customs that are forced upon you that are not part of the Scriptures. Beware of things not found in the Bible that men tried to bind you to. This book is all the truth that you need to know how to repent and be converted. This book is all the truth you need to know how to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. This book is all that you need to know how to live in this world and yet keep your eyes on heaven. This book is all that you need to know how to be a good citizen of the world. This book is all you need to know how to be a good boss or a good employee. It's all that you need to know how to be a good neighbor, how to be a good spouse, how to be a good parent, and how to be a good child. As far as your spiritual walk, this book is all that you need. God didn't leave anything out that you need. All right? God would not do that. Leave anything out that you need. It is all truth. It is all truth. Now, Lord willing, we'll continue this same thought on the next Lord's Day. And I want to continue preaching that this book is a supernatural truth. This book is holy truth. This book is precious truth. And this book is bitter truth. Because you know, there's a lot of the Bible that people do not like. There's a lot of the Bible that just rubs people the wrong way. Listen, if the Bible is rubbing you the wrong way, you need to turn around. Amen. Amen. Because the Bible's not going to turn around. You need to turn around if the Bible's rubbing you the wrong way. So it is a bitter truth. Many, many people hate the Bible. And let me say this. As we move forward, I say forward in time. As we move forward in time, and I've said this quite often recently, but as we move forward in time, the things that we believe are truths from the Word of God are going to get us in trouble. You hear me now, brother and sister? I'm telling you just the very truth. They're going to get us in trouble. Because the world is going to demand, the world will demand that you accept this or believe this or promote this or be fine with this. It's already started. And you're going to have to say, but the Bible says, and people will get mad, and people will hate you, and people will call you all kinds of manner of names. It's coming. Listen to me. It's coming. Why? Because the Bible that we hold on our lap is a bitter truth. And it goes against the nature of fallen man. It goes against the nature of natural man. It goes against the nature of sinful man. It irked you before you got saved too. Amen. Thy word is truth. May God add his blessings to the teaching and preaching of his word. May God bless his little flock at Beth Haven. May God bless this message. Father, speak to our hearts. Help us to have the confidence in this book that we should have. Help us to realize that it is from you. It is without error. Father, help us to realize that it is all that we need in so many areas of life. Help us to love this precious book. Help us to receive it by faith. Help us to believe it by faith. Help us to, Lord, call upon your Spirit that he might teach us this book. Now, Lord, I pray you bless the remainder of our time together. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless the church.